A few lines down from the top of Sanhedrin Daf Tzadim and Beis asks, Minayin Tchias HaMeisi Bina Torah, what's the source or where we find the idea of resurrection of the dead hinted to from the Torah? Again, Rashi and Daf Tzadim and Aleph says that you need to believe not just in Tchias HaMeisim, but also that it comes from the Torah, because part of our belief system is that everything is hinted to at the Torah. If you don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, it's hinted to at the Torah. Maybe at some point in the future, someone's not going to believe in it at all. So you have to believe in Tchias HaMeisim and also that it comes from the Torah. Question, though, is why is it only hinted? The Gemara at most says it's hinted. Why is it not explicit? I mean, Nathaniel Wiederblink wrote a beautiful Machshava Sefer, two-volume Machshava Sefer, and he cites nine different approaches that are brought down as to why the Torah is not explicit in Olam Haba. First, he says, the Rav Sadja Gaon says it's obvious, that Olam Haba is obvious. The Torah doesn't spell ideas that are obvious. It doesn't introduce every mitzvah with the fact that Hashem created the world, took us out of Egypt. The cause of Olam Haba is intuitive, and therefore it only needs to be hinted at. You know, or you can say maybe a different way, if God is good, then there must be a world to come. Because if God is good and you see you have righteous bad things happening to righteous people, there must be the world to come. So that's one reason why world to come, Tchias HaMeisim, is not written in the Torah, because it's obvious. Another approach is that the Maral in Tiferes Yisrael wrote a bunch of approaches. So one of his approaches in Perek Nun Ches is that since we shouldn't observe the mitzvahs for this purpose, i.e. for Olam Haba, Tchias HaMeisim, so therefore we don't mention it. And he writes that Efshar Eich Efshar Lomar Shiyad Nizkar B'Torah Shum Schar Kilu Omar Shiyavod Adam Baro B'Shvil Schar. How can you write the reward so that someone's going to observe the mitzvahs for reward? So we don't write rewards in the Torah because we want you to observe the Torah simply because God says so. The question though is, what about physical rewards? Throughout the Torah, Hashem does mention physical rewards, so that may be different. The physical blessings are only telling us that if we act appropriately, God will provide us with the blessing, or more, which is more opportunities to serve Him even better. In other words, if we perform mitzvos, then our lives will be better, so then we'll be able to observe Him even better. The Rambam writes, the greatest good is the material benefit to be able to serve Hashem more easily in this world. The Rambam writes that explicitly in the Mishnah Torah. And a third approach is that the Torah is given to the common person, and it abstains from discussing complex philosophical matters like Olam Haba that most people cannot understand. Fourth approach is that Torah's pledges are verifiable. The Torah only discusses rewards and punishments that are provable. So this idea of Tchias HaMeisim and then Olam Haba, they're not provable. You can't, it's not something that you can prove by, because we haven't, it's just based on our tradition. So we're not going to put that in the Torah. Another approach is that, this is the Maral writes in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Nun Ches. Another approach is the Torah focuses on collective reward and punishment. Therefore, there's no mention of Olam Haba and Tchias HaMeisim, because maybe the idea is that the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, which is fixed and immutable, is addressed primarily to the nation, whereas the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is more flexible, deals with the otherworldly experiences of each individual. And Rav Hirsch writes this explicitly. Another approach is that maybe, this is the Maral also writes this in Tiferes Yisrael, Perek Nun Zayin, is that Nevuah does not directly relate to that which is not part of any worldly reality. And Olam Tchias HaMeisim leading to Olam Haba is not something that we can understand, visualize, because it's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our visual perception what this Olam Haba is going to be like after Tchias HaMeisim, and therefore the Torah doesn't mention it. Another approach is the Torah is the guide to perfecting in this world. If you focus on the next world, focus on Olam Haba, Tchias HaMeisim, that's going to be a distraction to what we're supposed to do in this world. We're not supposed to focus on the future. It's focused on the here and now, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another approach is that the Torah does promise spiritual rewards. The Vilna Gaon and Shir HaShirim points out that psukim like v'shachanti b'socham, Hashem says, v'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, if we make a mikdash for Hashem, He will dwell amongst us. So, and other psukim indicate that the ultimate goodness is closest to Hashem. But it's ideal not necessary to cling to Hashem in the next world. The ideal is to cling to Hashem in this world. That's the purpose of creation. So in some sense, Olam Haba may not be the ideal. The ideal, ideal, ideal is v'shechanti b'sochem in this world. That's what the Torah mentions. And the last approach that we could suggest is why Olam Haba Tchias HaMeisim are not explicit, is that people in the time when the Torah was given would not have accepted it at the time. So therefore, it wasn't this idea of Olam Haba Tchias HaMeisim wasn't developed until Torah Shebaal Peh. Rav Yosef Albo writes that revealing certain ideas to the masses can be dangerous because there are concepts that seem counterintuitive, and people may end up rejecting the whole thing. And the Rambam also writes this idea in Igeres Tchias HaMeisim, that people weren't developed, even though they received the Torah. This type of idea wasn't developed in the time of when the Torah was given, but only much later on. So therefore, the Torah only hints at the idea of Tchias HaMeisim, Olam Haba, but it's not explicit. So the Gemara here is going to ask about Tchias HaMeisim. Minayin l'Tchias HaMeisim in the Torah. So where do we find a hint for Tchias HaMeisim from the Torah? So the Gemara says Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "Unesata mimenu es trumas Hashem la'Aron Hakohen." You're going to give the truma of Hashem to Aaron Hakohen, and the Gemara says, "Vachi Aaron la'olam kayam." Does Aaron live forever? V'alo lo nichnas Eretz Yisrael. Aaron did not enter into Eretz Yisrael. Shenosim lo truma, that we give him truma. The Torah tells us that one of the matanos, the gifts that we give to the Kohen, there are many rules associated with the Kohen, and one of the gifts is that he's supposed to receive the Truma. And the Torah specifically mentions in Bamidbar Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Chav Ches, it says specifically, Nisatim imenu as Trumas Hashem la'Aron HaKohen. You're going to give the Truma to Aaron the Kohen. Doesn't say you're going to give it to the Kohen. Doesn't say you're going to give it to Aaron Ubanov, Aaron and his children. Specifically to Aaron. And that's never going to happen because the obligations of Truma are only when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. And Aaron died before he entered into Eretz Yisrael. Now the truth is, some of Farshim point out, the Sanhedrin Ketana and the Shimon point out, that this was before Aaron was punished. So maybe you can say that at this stage of the game, the Bnei Yisrael were supposed to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and Aaron was going to enter into Eretz Yisrael with them, and Aaron was going to get the truma. But what they point out, what the Mefarshim point out, is the Gemara's assumption is that Hashem would not have made the commandment that you're going to give the truma to Aaron, with Hashem knowing that Aaron would not enter into Eretz Yisrael, even though it wasn't decreed yet. But Hashem knew that that wasn't going to happen. So why mention that you're going to give the truma to Aaron? How can that be? So it must be that what? It must be, says the Gemara, Ella melamed she'asi lechios. Must be that Aaron's going to live in the future. V'Yisrael nosim lo truma. And Klai Yisrael are going to give him truma. So how could it be that Aaron in some point future will get truma? Must be, mikan l'tchias ha'meisim in the Torah. Must be that there is a hint to tchias ha'meisim from the Torah. Now, There is a question as to whether Truma will apply in the Messianic era. There's a Gemara in Nida Daf Samach Aleph Amud Aleph that states that you can bury someone in Kilayim, in shrouds that are Shatnas, because after Tchias HaMeisim, there's not going to be mitzvah observance, or not the same type of mitzvah observance. So the Yad David asks, how will there be Truma in the future? So he writes that, no, maybe some of the prohibitions won't apply, but there'll still be mitzvot saseh. Now, another issue about whether truma will apply in the Messianic era is whether Shevet Levi will receive a portion in the land in the future. See, the Shevet Levi or the Kohanim only receive truma if they don't receive a portion in the land. So that makes sense. So we're going to see that Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, understands this pasuk differently. So maybe the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel hold that Shevet Levi will receive a portion land in the future in the Messianic era, or in Olam Haba, and then in that case, then Aaron and the Kohanim will not receive Truma, and therefore you would have to explain this pasuk differently. But at least according to this first opinion, that there will be Truma in the future, Aaron will receive it, and that so it must be that he's gonna be reborn. There's gonna be Tchias HaMesim. Now, question is though, in Olam Haba, are we actually gonna be eating or drinking? Now the Ramban holds that in Olam Haba, which is a physical reality after resurrection of the dead, there will be partially supernatural. There's gonna be no eating and no drinking. We're gonna see in the Gemara in a few dapim, where Rav is going to say that in Olam Haba there's no eating or drinking. The Rabban understands that refers to we're living in this world after Yemos, or we're living in a physical world after Yemos and Mashiach, after Tchias HaMesim, and we're not going to be eating or drinking. So what's going on here? We're just saying we're going to give the Truma to Aaron HaKohen after resurrection of the dead. So it must be that what will happen is there will first be resurrection of the dead, Mashiach's going to come, resurrection of the dead, and then some point after resurrection of the dead, there will be Olam Haba. The Aruch Haner points us out that what this Gemara is referring to then is between resurrection of the dead and Olam Haba, at that point, there will be Truma that will be given to Aaron HaKohen, because there will be a point of time between Tchias HaMesim and Olam Haba where it's still going to be the normal physical world like we have today, but just that people will come back from the dead, and that will be the time when Aaron HaKohen will eat the Truma. Now the question is, why is resurrection of the dead so important? Why is it such a cardinal principle? And how is it connected to this proof regarding Aaron? So the question is, why are some beliefs in Judaism so critical to that if you don't believe in this, you're like off the derech, you're not part of the fold? And let's say other beliefs that you don't, let's say there's certain parts of the Torah that you don't believe in, but it's simply a mistake and you're still part of the fold. In other words, why are some beliefs so critical and others are not so critical? So Rav Ezra Bick suggested that it's those beliefs that impact present performance which are critical. Now, if you don't believe in some historical event that happened, but it doesn't affect your current mitzvah observance, or you don't believe something in the future will happen, but it doesn't affect your current mitzvah observance, it's a mistake. But it's not something that you would say you wouldn't get a chelek olam haba, you wouldn't get a portion of the world to come. So it must be that not believing in the messianic era impacts our present behavior. It's critical. Why? Because the question is why. So Rabik suggests that the reason why the resurrection of the dead is such a critical belief, that it's such a principle of faith, is that this source of Aaron. So think about who Aaron was. Aaron was the Kohen. He was the most famous Kohen ever. Despite the fact that he was the ultimate Kohen, he never received Truma. Truma is like a fundamental aspect of being a Kohen. The Kohen eats the Truma. And Aaron was the ultimate Kohen, never got to eat the Truma, which is something which is so part and parcel of what it means to be a Kohen. In that sense, Aaron's life was kind of a failure. He was missing a central fulfillment of what he was supposed to be. If you think about it, this is a little bit like how many of us may go through life, that we exist to achieve something, and most of us do not fully fulfill it. Rav Soloveitchik points out that defeat is an essential element of the human destiny. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't make it. His whole mission was to lead the B'nai Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. That was his whole mission, but he didn't make it. But we were created to do what we can. Even if we don't fulfill our destiny, and even though it's likely that we will not fulfill our destiny, it's not a waste. We were created to do what we can, to journey, to make that journey, to participate in the journey, to try to fulfill and get to the end of that to reach our destination, even though we might not arrive there. And maybe the message is about Aaron HaKohen, is that if we don't succeed now, we will succeed in the future. If I don't fulfill my goal, I might say, what's my purpose? What's my purpose on this earth if at the end of the day I'm going to be a failure? I'm not going to achieve what I set out for. And maybe the point of Tchiyas HaMeisim, why it's such a critical, fundamental principle of faith, is that it's telling us that even though our life will end in the middle of our true destiny, because we're going to be defeated in the end, there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim. Hashem promises that we will live again and fulfill our destiny. And Aaron HaKohen himself will be resurrected to complete his destiny, just like, God willing, we all will be resurrected at some point to fulfill our destiny. That's why Tchiyas HaMeisim is critical to current observance of mitzvot, and why perhaps this is the first source or the first hint of Tchiyas HaMeisim from the Torah, because it highlights this aspect of how critical the principle of Tchiyas HaMeisim is to our religious worldview. Now, there's another explanation as to what this pasuk teaches us, if it's not referring to Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana le'Aaron ki'Aaron." That when the pasuk says you're going to give the truma of Hashem to Aaron, it doesn't mean you're going to give it to Aaron, because Aaron is not going to be alive. But rather, and maybe he holds like the position that in the future there will be no truma to the Kohanim, because they're going to get a portion of the land. So what does it mean, le'aron? Ki aron, you're going to give the truma to someone who's like Aaron. Who's like Aaron? Ma aron chaver apanav chaverim. Aaron was a chaver, and therefore his children are going to be chaverim, meaning you only give it to a Kohen who is a chaver. That is what Rabbi Shmuel says. Now, Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachman, Rabbi Yonason of Yonason says, Minayin she knows him truma lekohen am aretz. He says that you can't give truma to a kohen who's an am haaretz. In other words, the Iyun Yaakov points out that there's this dispute between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yonason. Does the kohen have to be a chaver, which is a Talmud Chacham? That's the view of Rabbi Shmuel. Or does he simply have to be a God-fearing Jew? That's Rabbi Yonason's position, in order to receive the truma. Now, by the way, what's the definition of a chaver? Why is he called the chaver? So the Rambam says, chavuratam zelazeh hi l'shem shamayim v'hi chevra ne'emenet. That the chaver means that there's a partnership, there's a friendship between different kohanim, that's l'shem shamayim, and it's a chevra ne'emenet, a faithful, really a group of people who are together. And they following the will of Hashem, they're l'shem shamayim. Melech Shlomo says that chavercha is like amitecha, the halacha community. That when it says, for example, the Torah says hocheach tochichas amisecha, there's a mitzvah of tochacha for your amisecha. Unkelus translates it as chavercha. And what does it mean? Amisecha, am sheitcha b'torah v'mitzvah, your halacha community. So a chavercha means part of your halacha community. Tiferes Yisrael says chaverim are perushim, can be mitchaber with them. The people who are separatists, who are very careful about perhaps tuma and tahara, ritual purity and impurity, can be mitchaber with them, can join with them. So Rabbi Shmuel says you have to be a chaver, a Talmud Chacham. Rabbi Yonason says you have to be a God-fearing Jew, if you're a Kohen, in order to receive truma. Now, Rabbi Yonason's rationale is he cites the pasuk Shenemar, because the pasuk says he cites a pasuk from Divrei Yabim, "Vayomer la'am liyoshev Yerushalayim lasteis menas hakohanim v'halviim leman yechzu b'toras Hashem." So the pasuk here explains that and Ezra said you have to give the inhabitants of the people of Yerushalayim have to give the Kohanim and Levim their matanos, their gifts, their priestly gifts. Why? So they can strengthen B'Torah Hashem, so they can be involved in Torah study. That if you are strengthened, if you strengthen yourself with Torah, if you focus, so then you get the truma. And if you don't, then you don't get it. So Rabbi Yonason says the goal of giving truma only to a to someone who's not an Am Haaretz is that so that you can focus on Talmud Torah. So what's interesting is that even though the Iyun Yaakov says that Rav Yonason said yes, it's to be a God-fearing Jew, you can argue maybe not. You can argue that Rav Yonason says the real goal is someone who's going to be learning Torah. The purpose of giving truma is that you can to the Kohen, so you can focus on learning Torah. Now, Amar Rav Ada Bar Avraham, Rav Yehuda, says, "Kol nosi truma l'kohen am haaretz, kilu nosa lifnei ari." That if you give the truma to a Kohen who's an am haaretz, like you're giving in front of a lion, ma'ari sofik doris v'ochel, sofik eno doris v'ochel, af kohen am haaretz, sofik ochla betara, sofik ochla betuma. That just like if you give truma to a Kohen am haaretz, like you're giving to a lion, if you give meat to a lion, he may eat it right away, or he may not eat it right away, and then it will get smelly and putrid. So also, Kohen is Am Haaretz. Maybe he's going to eat it in a state of Tarav, ritual purity, maybe he won't. So Rav Yehuda is saying the goal of giving it to a Kohen who's a Chaver, or someone who's not an Am Haaretz, has nothing to do with supporting his Torah study. It has to do with, you're nervous, you don't want the Truma to become Tameh. Rav Yochanan says, Afgorm lo Misa, if you give it to a Kohen, if you give Truma to a Kohen who's an Am Haaretz, you might cause him death. Shemar Mesi Bo Ki Yichalu, that if they profane the Truma, this could be their undoing. They could be killed for that. If you eat Truma in a state of Tuma, you're Chayav Kares. And the base manager Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says that it could place upon the Kohen many sins. And he cites a pasuk that says that they will place upon them the sin of the guilt sin when they eat their kadashim, and that means when they eat them in a state of tuma. So again, according to this other approach, that we're not talking about tchias ameisim, but we're saying that you have to give the truma to a Kohen who's like Aaron, is the point that he has to be someone who's studying Torah, and we're giving it to him so you don't have to worry about his finances, your financially support him so he can study and teach Torah. Or you're giving it to someone who's like Aaron, someone who's not an Am Haaretz, so that he's not going to defile the truma, he's going to eat in a state of Tara. What's fascinating is that Torah Tamima writes that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they actually gave the priestly the Maiser, which should have gone to Levi, they actually gave it to Rav Acha, who was studying Torah to support him on his Torah study. And there's a question, how could they take away from Levi, Shevet Levi? And there's a discussion that maybe Shevet Levi was penalized because they didn't make Aliyah when they should have. But the point is that already we see in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, you know, what's the role of the Kohen? The Kohen is ideally someone who's supposed to teach and Klal Yisrael, and they are the spiritual leaders. In the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim Leviim were more associated with the Tzidukim, at least the end of the second Beis HaMikdash period. They were associated with the Tzidukim, the Sadducees, who were much more Hellenized, and they weren't necessarily the spiritual leaders of the Jewish people. So what emerged was that the teachers end up being the scholars, not the sages, not the Kohanim Leviim. And that's why it's fascinating, this Yerushalmi, which says that the Maiser at some point was given to Rav Acha, because, again, to support his Torah. But again, that's another approach as to giving the Truma to someone who's like Aaron, so that either to support his Torah or so that he doesn't defile the Truma.